From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Venezuela's Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza was back at the UN this past Tuesday, and he held a press conference about the situation facing his country from the continuing U.S. effort to force regime change there.
Thank you for your attendance. We come from an extraordinary meeting with the Coordinator Bureau of the Non-Aligned Movement countries. We were there from 10 o'clock in the morning till almost 1, 12:30. So this is throughout about almost 3 hours of meetings. So not only do they express solidarity with Venezuela, but also respect for international law in the house and the temple of international law and civilized law. Here we have the Charter of the United Nations, which underpins this, the non-interference in internal affairs, respect of sovereignty. So this is opposition to the threat, or rather the threat of use of force against Venezuela in this case. So we're very pleased with the trip last night, and we met with Secretary General Antonio Guterres. We had a long meeting with him as well, very interesting. We're talking about deepening cooperation between the United Nations and Venezuela in those areas of the economy where it was very impacted by this international assault or aggression led by Washington. The goal here is to raise our cooperation to a new level with United Nations agencies. And this week, it's starting right here with our mission with specific projects of technical assistance, also in Caracas, working with the UN system. The UN system agencies that are present in Caracas. I'd like to start here by saying, as you know, President Maduro openly denounced the fact that this process of a coup d'etat in Venezuela, for the very first time in Latin America history, we see a coup being led by and openly led by the government of the United States. It's not like what we've seen in the past, where they were always there in the background, moving the pieces around the chessboard or financing things, but with a certain amount of dissimulation. They were doing it in a more covert manner. Their position was much less evident, that it wasn't obvious that they were at the helm of the operation. And then many years later, documents were produced with the CIA or security agencies of the United States, intelligence agencies. Then when those documents are declassified, there was evidence that the United States was always behind the various interventions and invasions, of course, and the coup d'etats in our government, overthrowing the governments in our continent. And now here we see Mr. Pence, Mr. Trump, Bolton, Pompeo, members of Congress, extremists, etc., all involved. But now here we see that this can happen any day. But the chapter of overthrowing the government of today and its leaders from a movement led by the United States and its government. John Bolton tweeted about it, and others says, and in English.
Report Maduro's theft of Venezuelan resources will not be forgotten. The United States will continue to use all of its powers to preserve the Venezuelan people's assets, and we encourage all nations to work together to do the same.
And then he's tweeting that there's news. Here we have our Minister of Oil, Manuel Querero, and an agreement that we secured with, India. We've been working with India since a lot of Venezuelan oil was coming from this to the States, but since they assaulted us and they've stolen from us, they stole our company. This is a business. Some Citgo meant some 30 million Venezuelan. Many of you probably filled up your gas tanks with Venezuelan gas, violating the laws, in breach of business and corporate law in the United States, because it's a private American company. It's a holding, and it also belongs to Venezuela Petroleum Company. And I think even the legal justification for this kind of investment in the United States was fairly weak. It's almost a communist approach. The approach taken by this government in the United States. But for those who don't really understand what he's saying here in this tweet, Mr. Bolton is saying that the companies that support Maduro's theft of Venezuelan resources will not be forgotten. Underscore the threat here, will not be forgotten. All of the powers of the government, of the most powerful government of this planet, will be used to preserve the assets of the Venezuelan people, and we encourage all nations to work together to do the same. So what he's trying to do here is give orders. This is a dictatorship that they're trying to impose on the world, unilateralism and its maximum expression. And that's why in the meeting of non-aligned movements just a few minutes ago, there was a rebellion against this dictatorship, a defense of multilateralism, a defense of the United Nations Charter, of the principles and purposes enshrined in the Charter, and of course, the principles of the non-aligned movement, the principle of Bandung, which, as you know, these principles emerged to moderate extremism, to stop war, prevent war, to impose law on the world, and so there would not be intervention, senseless intervention in others' affairs in the world. Now, this can happen in any day of the year. There are communications, speeches made, tweets, and concrete action taken. The United States was seeking a certain amount of momentum by giving orders and trying to support a sector of Venezuelan opposition. That was, they were promoting a military coup. They financed it, encouraged it, supported it in every possible way. And the National Armed Forces of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela stood firm, monolithically. And they stood by this constitution, which is the constitution of the 30 million Venezuelan citizens. And as a result, with the commander-in-chief, and the constitution indicates that that is the president, elected by Venezuelans, men and women. That's why it's so important to have this conversation. It's so important to be able to answer questions, because enough is enough. Enough with the lies. We are here to defend a truth, the truth of Venezuela. We are a government made of human beings, a government which is flawed, but a government and a revolution which a very broad popular and people's support. We have laws, we have institutions, we have five powers in Venezuela. And the fact that the United States would have a plan to intervene in Venezuela, it is, that's what it's doing. It's openly intervening. But even President Trump, 3 or 4 days ago, once again said, we will not discard the possibility of using military force against Venezuela. And then what happened with the United Nations Charter? Anything can happen here, and no reaction, right? Article 2 of the sacred charter for us to achieve the goals enshrined in Article 1, the members will proceed according to the following principles. The fourth principle says, members of the organization will refrain from resorting to the threat of the use of force, or the use of force attacking the territorial integrity, independence of any state, or anything that is incompatible with the purposes of the United Nations. You can't be clearer than that. So, as we were saying, we've come to New York, and we've met with number of people, and will continue to meet with permanent representatives of a number of different nations. Last night we were sharing in the celebration reception, celebrating 40 years of the very admirable Islamic Revolution of Iran. We were there at the reception and shared with a number of our colleagues there, and we will continue. And of course, as we were saying, we will continue holding firm. Venezuela wants to deepen its cooperation with the United Nations because President Nicolas Maduro has assumed a new presidential mandate, started a new term in January. On a Saturday, we were meeting with the UN country team in Caracas because we believe in the United Nations, because we believe in multilateralism. And when there are fascist outbreaks or outbreaks of those who were vanquished in the Second World War by the people. Outbreaks of what we see what emerged from the victory of mankind, with this institution emerged from the rubbles of the war. And now what we need to do is strengthen the institution that emerged from that war and prevent the dictatorship that some would wish to impose on the world. And in Venezuela, on a smaller scale, we see that men and women are moving forward with their lives. So, welcome, and go ahead, please.
Por favor.
Thank you, Mr. Minister, for this press conference. My name is Valeria Robecco, and I'm with ANSA, the Italian News Web Service, and I'm the president of ANCA, so I thank you on behalf of ANCA for this press conference. Today, the Italian foreign minister said that the last elections in Venezuela have been illegal and new credible elections are needed, but at the same time didn't take positions on the leader of opposition, Guaido. Can you please comment on that? And also, how, in your opinion, the Italian government can help the Venezuelan people in this moment in the country? Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. Look, any government has to respect this charter. It's logical. And at the same time, has to respect the constitution, in this case, the constitution of Venezuela, and call for dialogue between parties. And that's what any government has to do, any government that wishes to help Venezuela. The other thing is going to the US's side and being on the wrong side of history. We have said that it's a shame that the European Union and its institutions and the High Representative Federica Mogherini and many of the member states of the European Union, it's a shame that they took a wrong step by recognizing something that doesn't exist. And that is to say, a government that was self-proclaimed. And this is something that Europeans like a football metaphor. Well, they've been caught offside in this case. In this case, the government of Italy has been very mindful of the situation, and they wish there to be a Venezuelan sovereign solution to this situation, and not to be imposing a solution, which is what the US government appears to want. We wish to see consistency. Thank you.
Gracias, Canciller.
Thank you very much, Foreign Minister. One question that has been heard is, why is there not opened up a humanitarian pathway in Venezuela which would allow for humanitarian aid not to be politicized? You have spoken about accusations from the US, but we have heard that clearly humanitarian aid, there are people who are calling for humanitarian aid to come into the country freely. There are stories about a lack of food and medicine, and this is reports from the United Nations. In this visit, would you be willing yourself to call for a humanitarian pathway to open up? And perhaps this is something that the SG himself could call for to ensure that it can get through. Well, in fact, the Colombian media have been talking about a show in Venezuela. Since the executive decree was signed in 2015, they started to say that the intermediary bank couldn't be used, they didn't have access to international financing, and then formally in August 2017, with a cost which at a minimum, in various studies, there are some that said it was even more, but at a minimum, with the illegal confiscation, went beyond even $30 billion. So a government that is threatening you with the use of force, threatening you with an evasion, with a blockade, that gives orders to other countries for them to block you, do they really want to provide you with humanitarian aid? Let's be serious. That would be quite absurd. This is a hostile government that's killing you, and then they want to help you out. That doesn't make any sense. So let's be consistent. If there's a blockade on Venezuela? Well, you need to lift the sanctions, because the United Nations Charter doesn't give any legal authority to the U.S. government to impose coercive unilateral measures outside international law. That is the truth, and that is the reality. And what is even more shameful is if we talk about $20 million in comparison to the billions of dollars, if you look at access to raw materials and access to the industrial park. Well, let's not be so hypocritical in this conversation. There isn't a humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. There is an economy in Venezuela that is subject to a blockade. We have been able to recover significant levels of consumption in Venezuela with adequate distribution of food, with hundreds of thousands of tons of food in Venezuela being distributed. So let us not give in to the show, CNN, Fox News. We're talking about a bridge on which the situation hasn't changed. This is a bridge that has never been open. Colombia never paid for their share of the bridge, and now they say, well, Maduro has closed the bridge. That's not true. So there's a great deal of cynicism and hypocrisy in the media and in the world. But let's be decent and let's be rigorous and let's respect truth and not lead to generating the conditions for a military intervention in Venezuela. Thank you. Thank you very much, Foreign Minister. I'll be asking my question in English.
A settlement that you would see with Guaido or the opposition, in which there would be new elections. And why do you think there are so many other countries other than the United States that are also calling for new elections? Okay. Thank you.
Muchas gracias. Miren.
Thank you. Well, look, this constitution is very rich. It's the most complete constitution. You know that we say that quite modestly, but not modestly. It's the most complete constitution in Latin America. It contemplates thousands of paths for political change. All the variations are here. We don't impose conditions for negotiations, and we never did last year in the Dominican Republic. They said, and I said to them, and the government of the United States, and as a result, the opposition, and then as a result of that, the governments of some European Union countries, they say, well, Maduro wants to talk to waste time. But the opposition of Venezuela made Venezuelans lose and waste time. They didn't respect the constitutional principles. They didn't want to continue forward. And they were actually quite satisfied when finally a date was set for the presidential elections for the following year. They said they wouldn't sign the agreement in Santo Domingo. The president was there. There was the cameras were all ready. We were very embarrassed by that. This is with the former president, Rodriguez Batero. The Venezuela delegation was there to sign the agreement. It was printed on paper. The lights were there. The cameras were there. Everybody was ready to click. And they were there with Rex Stevenson, Manuel Santos, who were all in Bogota. They were all there to sign the Santo Domingo agreement. Why? To generate this whole situation. What they did was make us lose the agreement, make the world and the international community wasted time with this. They called us to sit down there, and it was the opposition in Venezuela that caused this situation. That's why Maduro, President Maduro, is insisting in Miraflores, in Caracas, in the National Park of in Montevideo, Mexico City, Beijing, wherever you want, we'll sit down. And in 15 minutes, in 15 hours or 15 days, we're prepared to do that because we are a sovereign state. We are the Venezuelan people, and we have an independent opposition. And even the extremists pick up the phone and they get orders. And the first is Raul, then Bolton, then Pence, and then Trump. And they even have meetings in the White House. And they're going to introduce someone to us, and we have everything. They're supposedly refugees, enjoying the status of refugees with the Colombian government. There's all sorts of confusion, but let's not lose sight of the evidence. and the attempt of assassination of not just President Maduro, which is extremely serious, but also public powers last August in Venezuela. This is an opposition which is betting on civil war, on violence, and on a coup d'etat. Now, they are brothers and sisters, all of them, leaders, deputies, whoever, they are compatriots and brothers and sisters. So we have a duty to sit down with them, but there's a whole body there. There's a mechanism that was created, a mechanism created in Montevideo. It was created very carefully with a very clear methodology with neutral countries who were concerned about Venezuela's situation. We sat down and we called it the Montevideo mechanism. We can use that mechanism or the Caracas mechanism or the Constitution. Everything is possible. Yes, you in the back, please. AP agency. Minister, the Secretary General insisted on a number of occasions on his offering of good offices. And given that you're in favor of dialogue, have you looked at the possibility of sitting down with mediation with Guaido and the United Nations? Yes, says the minister in answering the question. One of the issues we looked at yesterday was the possibility of Venezuela transiting through dialogue between the parties and making policy, not coup d'etats or promoting invasions. The Secretary General said he was in favor of the mechanism of dialogue, be it the Montevideo mechanism or any other, to be used, and he's prepared to support the process in that regard. What's surprising to us is that Deputy Guaido and his people has paid so much attention to the government of the United States and Bolton, et cetera, saying there's no time for dialogue. What Maduro, and they're saying that Maduro just wants to get time on his side. But we need a necessary process of independence, decolonization. The opposition in Venezuela needs to decolonize. And most of the militants of the opposition in Venezuela, there are many millions of Venezuela, are against any position that would weaken our sovereignty they want dialogue internally amongst us. So indeed, we're waiting. We're waiting for the opposition of Venezuela to deign to sit down with us. Yes, you, please.
State Global Research. Shortly after you were here speaking at the Security Council, the Wall Street Journal published an article saying that after the U.S., if it succeeds in changing your government, they will then go after the socialist government in Nicaragua and Cuba, which explained to me why Mr. Pompeo blamed Cuba for helping Venezuela. This would be, it would seem, or do you think that this is an ideological assault to roll back socialist tendencies in Latin America and elsewhere, of course?
Thank you very much. In any case, Mr. Bolton has said that there is a troika of evil in Latin America, Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua, imposing ideology on it and going back to the worst times of the Cold War, the times of Nixon, McCarthy, and not respecting this charter because all the ideas are in the Charter. That is why we need to strengthen the United Nations. We need to strengthen international institutions that do uphold international law and avoid the imperialist dictatorship of the United States. As Bolton has said, they want to get at the oil to make the most of Venezuela's oil, and this is something that President Trump has said. They want to get hold of the loot, and that's something that President Trump has said openly. It's pretty obvious because Venezuela has a great deal of resources, oil, minerals, and others. Given such an open, flagrant attempt, we think that there should be a reaction to avoid a war. And we have seen, for instance, we have seen that there are going to be demonstrations in front of the White House, in fact, to ensure that we avoid a situation where there would be bloodshed in Venezuela. And in fact, this is something that we've already seen. Suffering is something we've already seen because sanctions imposed by the US have already led to immense suffering. And if it goes further, then Donald Trump's hands would have blood on his hands. So that is why we want to avoid a coup d'etat. And we want to avoid any kind of intervention in Venezuela, because it would only lead to an even worse situation, and it would be a situation akin to what happened in Vietnam. And that is why we saw that there has been a letter that has been signed by millions of people in Venezuela and Latin America and many people in the world, including in the United States, to ensure that it is the people, ultimately the sovereign people, of the United States, after all, who can stop the madness of Trump.
Microphone for the speaker, please.
James Bayes from Al Jazeera. It's pretty clear for you, I think, when you wander around the United Nations, that the members of the United Nations are divided. Some support your government, some don't. The members of the Security Council are divided. They are, though, united in trying to avoid violence. You yourself have just spoken about avoiding bloodshed. Will you make a pledge to us here and now that your government will not use any sort of crackdown, any sort of repression against peaceful protesters?
Madam.
Look, indeed, in the dictatorship that they're trying to impose on the world, there are those who are following the steps of the dictator and those that don't follow in those steps. Those are free, those that are not. We understand that. The dictatorship, the neo-imperialist colonial dictatorship, is managing to get support and sympathy, or as Bolton said today, either do it for the good reasons or the wrong ones. Follow my footsteps here. Get ready. And it's unfortunate that some countries, especially the Europeans, we understand the ones in Latin America, these governments are entirely subordinate to Washington. It's like a big corporation with Trump as the CEO, and all the soldiers, the presidents of Latin America follow. They want to make sure that they get in the good favor of the CEO at the top, Trump. So we understand that. But in our country, there hasn't been repression since before the Bolivarian Revolution, when we were students. Jorge Reaza, President Nicolas Maduro, was a leader of the movements. There was repression and crackdown on a daily basis. Security forces were had been used by the United States government. A well-known Cuban-American terrorist was at the helm of the security forces at that time, the supposed democracy in Venezuela. So it was a daily occurrence. We had 4 months of political violence in the streets every single day. There was a structured plan in place calling for the various institutions to destroy this one, do this over here, 4 months. And what did President Nicolas Maduro do? Resolve with militarizations and crackdowns and repression? No. He was based on the constitution of our country, Article 8.4.3. The National Assembly on the 30th of July was constituted, and the next day there was no more violence, no more protests. The next violence occurred after the elections of the Legislative Assembly. There was burnings. They persecuted people, armed forces and the militia, who were trying to protect the election. And despite the violence, the terror, despite the media and the calls of the United States government and Latin American governments, more than 8 million Venezuelan men and women went to vote. Despite all that, we have always sought solutions in Venezuela through democracy.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.